You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Okay, here we go. The whole message today is from Luke, the 15th chapter. And I want to speak on this Father's Day about arms wide open. Arms wide open. Many people talk about the Word of God, but until you understand the character of God, you can't properly understand the Word of God. That's why I really hate text messaging, because you can get a text from somebody, but you don't know the spirit in which they said what they said. And so people get offended because they think that you were saying something that you really didn't say because they didn't know the character behind it. Now, let me just tell you something. There are people in this room that I've known for 20 plus years. I want to tell you something. They could text me anything, but I would know it doesn't matter what they text. I know their character. Yes? And that's that. So anyway, God here is trying to, with three stories in Luke 15, define his character. He talks about a lost coin. He talks about a lost sheep. But then he gets down to what's really important, a lost son. Now, can I say this very, very clearly to you all? We talk all the time about being good fathers, but you do understand that Jesus came to earth to teach us about what it was to be a good son. More important, are y'all with me today? More important than understanding how to be a father is first understanding how to be a son. Okay, so here's the story. A man had two sons. Very easy to me to relate to this story because my father had two sons. And it says that one of the sons came to him and says, I want my inheritance now. Now realize he didn't care how this affected his father. He just wanted his part now. Can I give you this incredible principle right now? Listen to this. Anytime you receive your inheritance before its time, instead of being a blessing, it will be a curse to you. Because money doesn't change people, it just uncovers people. You were that person all the time. You just never had the money to do something about it. Okay. So we realize, and I never saw this part before, Robert. It says that when the younger son said, I want mine, the father's character was so powerful. He says, okay, then I'll go ahead and give you both what's yours. Because it says he divided what he had between both of his sons. That's a great principle. And so he went on to say, I need to receive. Both got paid. I want to give you this word, please. If you have in your spirit the spirit of entitlement, thinking that somebody owes you something, that's anti the presence and the spirit of God. God said, you subdue. You take dominion. You act like my children. He did not say, guys, after what Jesus did for us. Okay. So we realize that entitlement is against the spirit. How did Paul start most of the apostles? He said, look here, I'm just a servant. He takes it to a whole other dimension. And Paul, who's a Roman citizen, says, I'm just a slave. I have no rights except what God gives me. Because arrogance stinks in the nostrils of God. Arrogance is when you think you know all the truth. You don't know all the truth. I've been in the ministry for 42 years. I'm about to turn 65 years old. I forgot to tell you yesterday, we celebrated our wedding anniversary, 42 years. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Mm. And so we realize that arrogance is when you think you know. I am still on a journey discovering truth. When people ask me, what do I believe about this scripture? I said, this is what I believe now. Next week, I could learn more. Godly fathers not only teach, but model to their children patience. The Bible says, in your patience, you possess. Now listen to this. A godly father guards his tongue and allows his children to mature. You really want to know what a father is? It's when you see your kids walking down a road and you know what it's going to cost them, but you realize what God's called you to do is walk beside them, and then when they fall, you help them get up. Because if you try to prematurely correct them, they get offended at the correction instead of understanding that it's truly love. Oh, let me tell you something. There's some things I don't know, but being a father is something I do know. Jesus had no... This is too powerful. Jesus knew the word completely at 12. And yet God did not allow him to speak nor have any word recorded till he was 30. Why the 18 years? He knew it. He had the power, he had the authority, he had the knowledge. Why 18 years? Because he needed to be fathered a little more. Okay. So not many days, the younger son gathered everything. He traveled to a far country where he, through undisciplined living, dissipated, wasted everything he had. One translation says he wasted all his money on parties and prostitutes. He squandered his estate on loose living. Here's a good one. A father teaches his children not only how to get a blessing, but to protect the blessing they get. How many of you, when you were younger, God blessed you with something and you didn't know how to handle it and you lost it? Come on, be a man, be a woman, raise your hand, that hurt, tired hand. Exactly. You got it. Henry, how many of our brothers that played in the NFL blessed with all this money and they got nothing? They lost it before they even got out. I lived right around the corner from an NFL player years ago, and they were in the player strike. And I said, how long do you think this is going to go, Dave? And Dave says, not long. I said, most of the guys on the team already spent all their money. Okay. I want to get to this important part. Listen to this. Undisciplined emotions cause you to disrespect everyone who's around you. Undisciplined emotions cause you to disrespect everyone, even the people that you love most. I got married. I was a virgin. I never did drugs. I was this guy, but I had this horrible temper. And every time my temper went off, it caused me to disrespect the people that I loved most, and it caused me to discredit my testimony. A disciplined life is a beautiful thing. A loose life will cost you your reputation, your finances. Why do you think the root word of the 12 guys that traveled with Jesus was disciples? Disciplined ones, disciplined people keep their finances, their reputation, and their blessing. Last night I took my wife down to South Beach for an anniversary. And I drove down Ocean Drive late last night. And while I was driving down, I watched the people up and down. There was such a violent spirit on the street. You know what I'm talking about, Clarence? There was such a spirit of disrespect for women on the street. There was such a spirit of loose living. No discipline. Just whatever feels good, do it. Do you know the end of that? The end of that is you're broke. The end of that is you have nothing. And so we see, oh, listen to this. This is so powerful. Never confuse being humble with not owning anything. Never confuse being humble with not owning anything. St. Francis of Assisi probably did more harm to Christianity and anti the gospel. The Bible says, and Jesus became poor that we might be rich, that we might be blessed. Verse 14, now he had spent everything. There was severe famine, had come against that country. He began to be in need. One translation said he began to starve. Now, let me tell you, you can have all kinds of opinions you want to have, but when you start to starve, you start looking for the truth. It's like if you're drowning, you don't care what color the lifeguard is. Okay, there you are. When I was a kid, we came out of church in this hot, hot outdoor, no AC camp meeting, and my two older cousins jumped in the deep end of the pool, and I just jumped in too. I had no idea how to swim. They went in, I went in. And I realized that I was drowning, and I would jump off the bottom and catch a little breath and go, help, and then go back down. And then I would come back up and go, help. And let me tell you something. I was this young, strapping, seven-year-old young man. And the lifeguard was a girl. A girl. That didn't matter at all. I was just very thankful. I said, look here, mouth to mouth. It doesn't matter, whatever. Now watch this. He went to a foreign country. He began to starve. The opposite of Joseph and Isaac. Joseph saved his nation. Isaac was blessed, as you heard last Sunday, even in a famine. How many people are starving today? They are hungry for things that are an illusion. Y'all do know that, like in most of the rap videos, all the stuff that the rappers are wearing, they don't own. Y'all do know that. It's Hollywood. It's not reality. Okay. It's an illusion. Hollywood, the media, creates an illusion of things you think that you want. Verse 15, so he joined himself to a citizen of that country. This is a very important point. Listen to this. Whoever you join yourself to determines the direction you're going to go. My mother, when I was a little boy, said, birds of a feather, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Without having authority in your life, you are saying, I don't need help to find direction. Without being a member of a local body of Christ, a church, you'll never hear the full counsel of God. Listen, remember in the book of Revelation, the letters are not written to an individual. They're written to a church. Okay. All of a sudden, he came to his senses. Everybody that believes this, raise your hand that has children and go, God, help them to come to their senses. Just do that. All of you children, raise your hand and say, God, help my parents come to their senses. All right, good. In the life of this young man, it took him, listen, it took him losing his freedom, losing his self-image, losing all of his money, losing all his resources in order for him to wake up. What will it take you to wake up? Many of you this week went to Heal for Life. That's an event that helps you wake up. Because if you don't wake up in those areas, you're doomed to repeat the same thing over and over again. I always teach this: the more flexible you are in God, the less you have to be broken. God gave me that word years ago. Let me just explain something to you. People that are going around all the time crying all the time because God broke them, you need to loosen up. You need to let God direct you. Quit trying to be so stubborn. Okay. How many times did God speak to the young man that he could have gone home earlier, but pride is a monster? Pride's a monster. Pride will make you stay doing the wrong thing, thinking you're right, with no results to prove it. When you feel like you've got something to prove, you're not walking in the Holy Spirit. When a lot of your sentences start, "I don't care what anybody says," or "I don't care what anybody thinks," you're not living a life of obedience. You're living a life of reaction. I don't have time to do a lot of stories and stuff. This is just like series, like truth after another. Just strap it up and take it the best you can. Remember this: arguing never won anyone to Jesus. You don't have to prove your point. The more somebody tries to argue with me, or they call and I want to argue or discuss scriptures, let me tell you who the greatest attorney for the Word of God ever was: Paul, the one who wrote most of it. And he would go in front of Festus, or he would go in front of Agrippa, and they would look and go, "Man, you are crazy." And you know what? I almost believe, but nothing but the love of God changes people's hearts. Love changes. Your intellect doesn't change somebody. Some people are so ready to be offended. Yesterday I went out. Richard and I have a thing where if the trash cans are out and I come out, I put them up. We've never said this publicly to each other. It's just what we do. If I'm not home and the trash cans are out, he puts them up. And so yesterday I thought I was doing a good thing. And I switched the trash cans. And his lovely wife came out and she said to me, "Did you switch the trash cans?" And I said, "I don't know. I could have." She says, "Well, I washed mine out." And I said, "Well, I've never washed mine out. It's evident which one's mine." And we laughed because it's not worth being offended. He says, "I'll get up and go to my father. And I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against your presence. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Here's the whole purpose of the message. Listen to me, and I'm talking to everybody here today. You don't understand God when you think the son said, "Because of what I've done, it will change my relationship with my father." You don't know God until you understand his love for you is conditional. What about the sin I've committed in my life? Hear this: sin has its own price. I grew up in Pentecost and we would send everybody to heaven. I mean to hell. Everybody to hell. You're going to hell. You saw a woman in a bathing suit, you're going to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You had a glass of wine, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You were with somebody that was smoking, you're going to hell. We were looking to send people to hell. I'm telling you something. We were having to build annexes and additions onto hell because more than people getting saved, we were sending those boogers to hell. Get them to hell. Because there was just a few of us. Half of them was going to have a lot of room. Heaven was going to have a lot of room. I was going to have 3 or 4 mansions myself because I know that nobody else deserved. What he had done, because of who his father was, even though he was somewhere else, it reflected on his father. And I want to take you to this just for a second. Now watch this. And listen to me, parents. I can help you. Fathers, I can help you. Not one time did the Bible say, and the father went out looking for the son. If you try to help a child prematurely, you insulate them from the dealings of God. And then they never learn the lesson. You keep them in a place of being spoiled and entitlement. But every day, he went out to the road to see if his son was coming. He expected every day for his son to return to him. And then the one day he looked out, he saw him. And the Bible says, and he ran to him with arms open wide. And the Bible says he took him and he held him and he kissed him and he never asked him what he had done. He never asked him where he had been. He never asked him, what did you do with the money? He never said, did you get divorced? He didn't say anything. The first thing he said was, go get me the best robe in the house. I don't want anybody to see the condition he's in. And he took and he covered him. He covered him. The Father's heart is to cover you. Do you deserve it? No. It's called the robe of righteousness. It's not by your works or you'd be boasting. It's because of his works and because of what he's done. It has made us the ability to put on a robe. And watch this. It's though it never happened. Now, a lot of people get caught up over the sinner's prayer. Realize this. There was no prayer. There was no prayer. No prayer. He just said, you're my son. You'll always be my son. Welcome home. He didn't say, let me put you on probation for a while. And let me see if you deserve my love. As a family? No, he took the family ring out. Because with this ring came all the privileges of being in his family. All he had to do to go to any creditor, to any store, or anywhere was just to show him the ring. And he said, here, son, put the ring on. Because I want everybody to know, my son, who was lost, is now found. This is the character of God. And if you know anything about symbolism, he said, I need to change your shoes. Because the shoes, listen, symbolize the preparedness to walk a new path. He said, here's brand new shoes. Here's brand new shoes. Because I'm preparing you to walk somewhere you've never walked before. Because he doesn't save you just so you can go to heaven. He saves you so you can walk a new path. He saves you because you're in the family. And in the name of Jesus, I come against all judgmentalism. The older brother comes and he goes, Dad, what are you doing? I've always been for you. You've never thrown a party for me. And now this guy who ripped you off, who took everything. And what Dad said is what I'm going to say to you today. The dad says, you don't understand my character. You don't understand my spirit. You don't understand what I'm about. Because what I'm about is family. What I'm about is all my children coming home. Do your arms like this. If God does that for us, why can't we do that for each other? So I open my arms to some people and then I don't to other people? No, no. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've gone through. Here it is. I was speaking prophetically, Carol. I didn't even know. Went back at a place called Hope on the Palmetto, and I say, I love everybody. And God loves. I don't care where you are, what you've been through, what your family's been through, what your kids have been through. Let me show you, Father. You want to see him today? Bow your heads. Thank you, God. If you're here today and you'd say, Apostle, somehow I just got kind of away. But today I see his arms open wide. Today I see the character of God. Today I see nobody's looking. This between you and me and the good Lord. You'd say, Apostle, I need to find my way back home. Just slip your hand up. This is just you and me and God. I see your hands. I just kind of lost my way. It's okay. It's no judgmentalism. He didn't ask him one question about what he had done. He simply said, welcome home. Reach out and take the hand of the person next to you. Would you do that for me? And let me just pray. And let me just say, in the name of Jesus, never feel estranged. Never feel cut off from God. Never feel like you haven't got a way home. You have a way home. Just arise. Just wake up and come home. His arms are open wide. He loves you. I can't tell you how much he loves you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.